This is the Brian Hayes Show on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
The bad news, I haven't got Pearl Jam tickets yet. The keyword yet. The good news for you, more specifically me, because I'm a huge Pearl Jam guy, we're playing the album 10 today by Pearl Jam. Because that is the magic number in this city right now. Never mind the all-star game nonsense and acrimony and complaining. To a lesser degree, never mind, or don't let it bother you, the fact that Milos Raonic lost last night, early this morning, at the Australian Open. If you're a Raiders fan that supports the team in Oakland, if they move to Vegas, Hakuna Matata, just forget about it for the time being. For the Toronto Raptors have won 10 games in a row. That's a double high five where I come from, a double-digit winning streak. The hottest team in the NBA is your Toronto Raptors. We the North, indeed. I am Gareth Wheeler. This is the Hayes Show, TSN 1050. Your boy Brian Hayes coming up at 4 p.m. today, co-hosting TSN Drive. Raptors fandom in the cities got to the point where I was watching the CTV, the CFTO 6 p.m. news last night, and they're talking to people on the street about the team, and they're getting items factually incorrect about what the team's all about. There was like this middle-aged white guy, and God bless him. He had to be about 50 years old, glasses, probably had a pocket protector. He was so excited about the Toronto Raptors that he dropped, not we the North, but he's like, yes, we are the North. He dropped in the we are the North. That's fine. That works. As long as you're supporting the team, it's cool by me. But the Raptors win 10 in a row. Assistant coach with the Toronto Raptors, Nick Nurse, is going to stop by at around 3 p.m. today, coming off last night's win against the Knicks. What's going right for the team? Have we reached a point where we can compare the Raptors with the Cleveland Cavaliers and the other top teams in the NBA? And he will let you know what he's seen this season from All-Star DeMar DeRozan. Second time he's being picked, selected to play in the NBA All-Star game. Good on DeMar DeRozan last night. Do we have the clip from Charles Barkley, by the way? Yeah, you have the clip? He went on and waxed poetic about the city of Toronto last night. This is why a lot of people believed Kyle Lowry wanted to play last night, play through injury, because it was a nationally televised game on TNT. Here's Charles Barkley. Some of what he had to say on last night's broadcast.
First of all, let me tell you something. When I'm going to Toronto, forget Wayne Gretzky and Drake. I'm hanging with the mayor. Yeah.
The ex-mayor.
Okay. First of all, he got more free time to smoke now. So I'm on, the way I look at it, he got more free time to get his freak on. So me and the mayor,
We're putting that up there with San Antonio and Charles.
We're going to have so much fun. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to hang out in Mississauga. And let me tell you something.
And what?
Don't tell us what.
Don't y'all act like y'all know me in Toronto. Because me and my man, my girl Chris, who works for Canadian Hockey, my boy Rod Black, we're going to be socializing up there. I don't want y'all to act like y'all know me up there.
The Rod Black bomb. And this is a story. Like, I've known about this for years working here at TSN. Rod Black and Charles Barkley are boys. They've golfed together. They've hung together. They partied together. And I love how he drops that about the mayor, because Charles has got himself in trouble with the law more than a couple of times. He knows how to party. I'm actually surprised he's allowed to leave the country to a certain degree. But the best sports analyst out there, because he tells it like it is. Hey, Mulz, do you have the clip where he's talking about the Raptors being in the top five teams? If you have that clip, let me know. If not, I'll paraphrase. Because he was lavishing praise on this Raptors team and what they're bringing to the table. And according to Sir Charles, the Toronto Raptors are a top five team in the NBA. And right now, they are the hottest team in the NBA. Top five, who would be in your five? Spurs, Warriors, Thunder. By the way, both the Thunder and the Spurs are 9-1 in their last 10. So they're giving the Raptors a run for their money. And then the Cleveland Cavaliers in the East. And then I guess it's the Toronto Raptors. I think that we're moving in, sliding into this territory where we can have a real conversation. And if I was to really have this conversation, I'd say there's a top three in the NBA. Then there's a team with LeBron James on it. Then there's the Toronto Raptors. Because the three Western Conference powers, Spurs, Warriors, Thunder, they're the top three for me. I don't think there's any question about that. And then it's LeBron James and company. If he can coach, be the general manager, be the star player all at once, cover up for anything that Kevin Love's not bringing to the table. What's with the Cavaliers and their whining ways now? You hear their head coach, Tyronn Lue, coming out and saying, we're a first-place team in the conference. We deserve more than one all-star. Okay, then who? Because Kevin Love hasn't played well. Kyrie Irving is being hurt all season long. Who would it be? J.R. Smith? Like, you got to be kidding me right now. I'm a big Tristan Thompson guy, but not him. That just shows you how good LeBron James is. He can fire coaches, he can pick who he wants to play with, and he can carry a team on his back. But I do think we are moving into a place where we can truly have a conversation about what the Raptors need to add or what they need to do to mount a serious challenge on the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I don't think they're that far off. Will Strickland, our NBA analyst, co-host of TSN's 101, is going to join me in about 8 minutes' time. A lot of basketball talk coming your way this afternoon because it's about time. I said this on yesterday's show. In this market, we can have hour-long, two-hour hockey shows. We can have hour-long, two-hour baseball shows. We can have football shows. We can have all this stuff. Where is the love for the basketball team? And don't tell me the fans don't exist because they do. They pack the ACC and they're loud and they're into it on a regular basis. And perhaps they skew a little bit younger. And perhaps the younger kids are more listening to podcasts than traditional radio. But if you want to bring them in, you want to bring in an astute fan base as well, then do basketball talk justice. Don't just talk about it because you feel like you have to. Build some programming around legitimate basketball talk, and the followers will come. The fans will listen. The fans will participate because they care about this team. Because we are the North, or we the North, whatever you want to call it. The basketball fandom is in this city is alive as well. Alive and well, I should say. And really piggybacking on what this team's bringing to the table. So Nick Nurse will join me at the top of the clock. What's going on right now at the NHL All-Star Game? It's like media day. It's not like the NFL Super Bowl media day, but the scrums have all gathered around certain players to hear what they have to say. That media scrum today around John Scott was embarrassing. How big it was. I get that he co-wrote or co-penned a piece in the Players' Tribune. I hear ya. What more was John Scott going to bring to the table today? He has said his piece. All that I care about is the NHL's reaction. And so far, Gary Bettman, all he's done is wax poetic about how good the NHL is and how much people like him. According to Bettman, people don't boo him anymore. Are you kidding me? Have you been out in public? Are you that oblivious to what your fan base actually thinks about you? Here's a question for you. Has Gary Bettman once, ever, just once over the course of his professional career, admitted he's been wrong about anything? Have you heard Gary Bettman say, we made a mistake? I've heard him have some half-assed apology a couple times based upon lockout strikes that have robbed hockey fans of consuming what they love. So I've heard him apologize kind of half-heartedly. But I've never heard him admit that he's wrong. Whether it's about southern NHL markets, whether it's about something to do with his own arrogance, the state of the game, the rules, the decisions at the front that the league office makes. He never admits that he is wrong. And for me, I admit that I'm wrong. I admit that I'm wrong all the time because I'm human. We all make mistakes. For me, it's a big-time character flaw if you cannot admit that once in a while you make a mistake. And the National Hockey League made a mistake when it came to their handling of John Scott when it came to the All-Star Game, which has created this environment where the scrums are around the least or the player who should be least significant this weekend. If the NHL, when John Scott was named to the game, just came out and said, you know what, we screwed up, we got it wrong, but he's going to play, and from going forward, we're going to change things. We learn from our errors, and we're going to move on. Then, do you think there would be this kind of focus on John Scott today? There might have been some tongue-in-cheek talk and some joking around, some laughing, but nothing like there is today because John Scott shined that light that was cast upon him and he cast it right back at the NHL. What's the NHL's response? Frank Saravelli, Ryan Reshager down in Nashville for TSN. They'll weigh in on that in a few moments' time. But it's the NHL who needs to be asking questions. Why do you say to one of your players, is this something your kids would be proud of? That goes beyond the individual, the merits of him being there. You bring family into the equation. One's integrity, one's moral fiber. That's way offside. Way offside. So the NHL has plenty to answer for. Will they today? Probably not. NHL All-Star Game goes this weekend. I'm operating off of short rest. I, like many people across this country, were gripped to Canada's sports leader overnight. 3:30 in the morning. Actually started more like around 4. But Milos Raonic, semifinal action against Andy Murray. Andy Murray of Scotland. He's Great Britain's Andy Murray when he does well. He's Scotland's Andy Murray when he doesn't play that well. Milos won the first set, was up 2-1, then suffers a right adductor injury. And if you didn't watch the game last night, then you might be saying to yourself, well, okay, Milos lost again. He came up short. That game, your TSN turning point was when Milos called out the trainer the first time. And he tried to fight through it. But he lost some speed. He lost some velocity on his serve. He started moving around gingerly, wincing. And inevitably, it all fell apart, and he lost in the fifth set, which was a no contest. Milos Raonic goes down in 5 sets to Andy Murray. If you watch that match as a Canadian sports fan, or just a Canadian in general, you come out of that with resounding pride for what Milos accomplished. And I've heard other people say, and they're fair in saying this, well, he didn't win, so let's take it easy on the praise. But he went out there and played hurt. And he had the second-ranked player in the world on the ropes. And to fully understand and appreciate what Milos has done, you need to understand where he's come from. He's changed a couple coaches over the last couple years. That's one thing. You kind of push that to the side. But he has dealt with a number of very serious injuries. And injuries are the thing that has held him back more so than anything else. And at this tournament, he fought through this injury in this game to try to put forth an effort that we could all be proud of, which we are proud of over the course of last night. But he was great. He played some of his best tennis over this tournament, and he was humble, and he was gracious, and he was fun with the crowd. He paid tribute. He paid respect to those who lost their lives in Saskatchewan. We just saw the likable side of Milos Raonic that we experience on a regular basis here in Toronto, but the world hasn't been exposed to. I don't know if Milos is ever going to be able to compete with the Novak Djokovic's of the world, but certainly he's a player capable of being in and around the top five. And if the chips fall kindly for him, if he gets a little luck, then he can go on and win a Grand Slam. His game is developing. He's still just 25 years old. I'm exceptionally proud of what he accomplished here in Brisbane before Melbourne this past 2 weeks. He's taken this country on quite a ride. So we thank Milos Raonic for everything that he's done. We'll talk a little bit more Milos Raonic over the course of this program as well. If you want to get at me, the text is 105050, the email live at tsn1050.ca, and you can get me on Twitter at WheelerTSN. We'll Strickland, co-host of TSN's 101, stepping in studio next. We're talking your Toronto Raptors. Just how close are they to mounting a true challenge atop the Eastern Conference to the likes of the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll have that conversation next. Gareth Wheeler with you. This is TSN 1050 in Toronto. Just took over. What just happened there? We were going with some even flow. We're playing all music from the album 10. Pearl Jam today for 10 in a row. Will Strickland's in studio right now. What'd you call yourself? The Observer?
No.
What did you orchestrate here?
I didn't orchestrate anything. I just like, again, critical thought is something that's missing in sports broadcasting, sir.
Critical thought?
Critical thought.
Okay.
Everything is about the hot take, the linear look, and...
Okay, the lecturer, Will Strickland,
no,
continue.
No, I'm just saying, like, I'm an observer, man. I have a degree in multiple things, but that means nothing. Just being able to observe as opposed to just look, because there is a difference. And I observe a lot of things in sports.
Why did we cut off even flow? What
because
just happened there?
Explain I can this. Hear that Marco knows it's the new world order, or better yet, the new will order here on this show this afternoon. So get it together. You know, TSN 1050, let it be known. It is the new will takeover right here.
Not TSN only the observer, the egotistical Will Strickland.
It's not
me.
Ego when it's true.
Okay. Co-host of TSN's 101 each and every Saturday right here on TSN 1050. Yes, we have an all basketball show, Will. I'm trying to get all basketball shows during the week as well. Because right now, this Raptors team, 10 wins in a row. And by the way, the Pearl Jam was paying homage to 10 wins in a row. Thank you very much.
No doubt.
And blessing our audience with some quality tunes while we're at it. But this is a story in the city right now. It's how the Raptors are doing and where this team is going. It's an all-star year. The buzz is there. And we should reflect that over our airwaves.
It's kind of the story in the city right now. I think the biggest story in sports right now is Milos Raonic, but he didn't win. Mm-hmm. Somehow the Raptors' 10 wins is behind that, but it is Canada. This is how this works, and I understand
why that. Is that, Will? Why is that?
Because
we're
number 17. I think we celebrate things that we don't have to celebrate just yet, and it's not a disrespect to Milos, who's done more for Canadian tennis in the past couple of years than anyone ever.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. You celebrate
that. And it's most recent. It happened overnight. There's only 4 Grand Slams a year. There's 82 games on a schedule.
But I think
for
once
me,
he
they're
wins
co-lead
one,
stories.
But it's not a story yet. Win one, and then all the other stuff makes more sense.
Okay.
The story behind the story makes more sense. To see the struggle to get there. But don't celebrate the struggle just yet, because what if he never achieves anything? Then it's like, okay, it's empty calorie celebrations to
right.
me.
Right. You would have been proud of me earlier this week. I was asking questions before anyone else, and I've heard other people piggyback off these questions. Don't worry, the footnotes noted. Yeah, I get where you're coming from. But the Raptors fandom, I'm wondering when the groundswell of support, what it will take for the groundswell of support to rise up around this Raptors team like it did for the Blue Jays team. Now, well, you've seen it in small doses.
You saw that at the end of the season for the Jays.
Well,
it wasn't like that throughout the season.
You saw it after the trade deadline.
Bomb.
David Price, Troy Tulowitzki.
It changed the makeup of the team. It gave you a different type of hope. Does that happen with this team after the trade deadline in February? It could.
That's what I'm asking. If Masai Ujiri makes a deal to change the complexion of this team, to finally make people believe that this team can compete with the Cleveland Cavaliers, then it has to change, right? It has to change.
I don't know. Fans are fickle. That's why they're fans. But to be clear, they can still compete with Cleveland right now.
I agree.
They've competed with Golden State, clearly the best team in the National Basketball Association, as evidenced by the bloodletting against Cleveland and San Antonio, the two, I guess, second-best teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So you've seen Toronto, and even though we're not about moral victories here, Toronto has competed on a very high level with their full complement one time and without their full complement the second time here in Toronto, and played them to the last buzzer. So you have to respect the fact that this team, as is, even with Damari Carroll being out, even with the time that JV was out, was still competing at a very high level. They're the second-best team record-wise in the East. They're the fifth best team record-wise in the National Basketball Association. That's nothing to sneeze at. 31-15, that's real. But I think what people want to see, and you asked the question about Masai. Masai has always been very prudent in the way he moves pieces. We always talk about asset management, do we not,
always,
sir? And Masai has done a great job with this team getting the right parts. Not always the most expensive, the highest gloss names, but the best parts to create the team he wants. Dwayne Casey has done a great job with the turnover they've had in this past season. They have seven new players on this roster.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow they're a better team than they were last year. That speaks to the Masai bringing in the right kind of personalities, and that Dwayne Casey and these guys, from the top up, the two all-stars, buy into what Dwayne Casey and his brain trust are doing. So you have to give respect top down and bottom up with this organization for buying into the program and then actually following suit. Now, what has to happen, again, we talk about consistency, and if they make that trade, who is that body you bring in that doesn't change the makeup of this team in a way that the chemistry is broken, but they add on in a way of what they do on the court and how they understand the pecking order on this team?
I'll throw out a couple names in a few moments, okay?
Okay.
Will Strickland joining me in studio. I am Gareth Wheeler. For Masai Ujiri, like, he's a sprite kind of guy. Like, image is nothing, thirst is everything. He's not going to make a trade just to get the fans on board. He's going to make a trade to make this team improve. And I think a lot of it comes down to whether or not Damari Carroll is going to be healthy. If there's one defensive three, if you got one guy you want to try to not stop but limit LeBron James, it's Damari Carroll. Like, that was one of the reasons why I think he was brought here. And if he is healthy, and it's a big if, that could really kind of shift the momentum and maybe shift some opinions amongst those people that are kind of cynical at this point, whether or not they can actually contend with the Cavs.
I don't think they're cynical because they don't think that the Raptors can compete with the Cavs. They have been dealing with mediocrity for the past almost 50 years from the Toronto Maple Leafs.
But what were the Blue Jays fans dealt with two decades of mediocrity?
And I'm not disagreeing with you. Again, you talked about that trade. Can you make the kind of trade that inspires the city? I think the city should be inspired by the fact that this team, the past two seasons, has gone to the playoffs, that they've grown every year, that you want to see real growth from them. And it could be a jump, depending upon how the East has moved at trade deadline. You don't know the stability of a midseason firing of David Blatt, how that's going to work for that team in Cleveland. You're two games behind Cleveland. Mm-hmm. You could easily be number one in the East and the number one seed going into the playoffs if you make the right moves. Does it change the way the fans feel? We can't gauge that one way or the other until they come out to the ACC, until they're outside of the arena, standing in the cold and sleet and rain, cheering for this team. So, again, to try and measure where they are right now is part of our job, no doubt. But I think the fans, I don't want to gauge the fans just yet. The fans are the fans for a reason. They change the win quite often.
So let's just gauge this team. I love what I'm seeing. The bench has come around. Even the much maligned Terrence Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Patterson's in a little bit of a groove right now. They have taken steps in the right direction. I look at the schedule coming up, Will. They play the Pistons at home. Then they're on the road. Nuggets, Suns, two of the weaker teams in the West. Trailblazers, Pistons, T-Wolves, Bulls. The Bulls game February 19th looks to be the toughest on that schedule, but you're looking at this is a pretty favorable schedule with a bunch of road games and the All-Star game sandwich in between.
Well, the All-Star game is a good thing because the first game they play coming out the break, if I'm not mistaken, is the Bulls. And they don't have to really... Like, they've been at home the whole time. Mm-hmm. I don't think that too many of the guys are going to leave the city. I'm sure that there are going to be obligations in the city.
And you'll want to be in the city.
Yeah, you want to be here.
Yes.
And I think as a team, they'll use this, again, that time off as a mini camp right now. Before they play the Bulls, they want to exact some revenge and let them know who's the boss in the East below Cleveland at this point, right? But you look at that schedule, you can't take any team for light. And I know that the schedule is a little bit lighter in the second half of the season for the Raptors, but they've done their jobs, and they can only knock down who's in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take for granted what Detroit can do. Detroit's still a quality team. Stan Van Gundy took a team that was terrible last year, and now they're actually playing at an incredible level around Andre Drummond, Reggie Jackson, guys like that. And you cannot forget Ghostface Ilyasova. He's playing well as well. So you have a quality Detroit team. Do not disrespect Mike Malone and the Denver Nuggets. You have to play at altitude. You're going to be on the road. And Will Barton is the most improved player in the NBA right now. He's, I think, third or fourth in fourth quarter points in the NBA. A guy who comes off the bench.
But the team still stinks.
They stink as a team. But on any given night, when you go up in altitude and you're on the road, they can get you. And that's what I'm saying. These are trap games. And I think the Raptors show their mettle when they have an opportunity to exact wrongs from the past.
Sure.
They but haven't the been difference good in those time
if
games.
If they lose one now, it's like no sweat.
It
like,
should be.
Honestly, the way I'm looking at this team, and we're all keeping the long view in mind, playoffs, that's what it's about. We all understand that. But this team is trending in the right direction, and there's been gradual improvement seemingly week over week.
Absolutely.
And that's what you want to see.
Absolutely. Like I said, if they go into every game with the mindset that, hey, we're better than these teams, let's go out and not just talk about it, but do it.
Mm-hmm.
And even if we lose a game, let's lose in a way that shows us competing to the very end. We don't make excuses about back-to-backs or being on the road because your defense can travel on the road and you just do what you need to do. Because no one's going to go back and go, oh, well, you know, you beat the Nuggets by 40.
Mm-hmm.
If you beat them by one, guess what? You beat them. That's all that matters.
Exactly.
So do your job.
I'm going to throw out some possible trade targets. You can say yay or nay. How does that sound?
Sounds
And
great.
We're going to tip our cap to DeMar DeRozan. And I want to know what Will Strickland is seeing in DeMar's game that has taken him to a completely new level. Gareth Wheeler, Will Strickland with you. At home, you're a big Jeremy guy there, Will? No? This was actually the first compact disc, like CD, that I ever owned. Pearl Jam 10. No word of a lie.
Well, you know, we've been celebrating a lot of old 90s bands because I heard that Sting was supposed to be performing at halftime of the NBA All-Star Game, which is a bit of a disconnect unless they bring out Nasir Ben Ola Daru Jones, a.k.a. Nas, who did a song, sampled Sting before, and also Sean Combs, Diddy, who did, you know, For Every Breath You Take, he just did a remix for Biggie.
You think that's the kicker? Like, I've heard so many names coming into town All-Star Weekend. That's why that's such a surprise to me. Like, legit big names, must-see shows that I know are going on elsewhere across the city. And then
I have no idea
Sting?
Why that's happening, like, but I'm not knocking Sting. I'm a big Sting fan. And, you know, you have Snoop Dogg and 2 Chainz doing
You were a big Sting fan. What has he done for you lately?
Like, no.
This is 2016.
But sometimes it's a long-term relationship.
Right.
You have to hold on to that. He's done enough greatness for me that I can respect Sting. I don't know if I will see him in the All-Star game.
Right.
Unless he's sitting in the stands. But, hey,
well,
it is what it is.
We're playing Pearl Jam 10 today to celebrate 10 wins in a row for your Toronto Raptors. We're going to talk Raptors trade possibilities in a moment. You want to hear Ludacris, our fine producer.
He's coming up to perform,
well,
too?
No, not Ludacris. Yeah, well, that'd be awesome if Luda did come up. Our fine producer, Steph Appolito, just flipped me a note that David Griffin, not Peter, but David, the GM of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Yes, they have a GM, not named LeBron James.
Yeah.
He was on Sirius XM radio, and he was going off about how Kevin Love, there's been no trade talks surrounding the player. That's been the rumor that's been out there. And then he went on to state, for some reason, and I'm not sure, this is a direct quote, okay? LeBron doesn't have a no trade clause, right? So there's no such thing as untradeable. There's a price for everything, and anybody can be traded. It's true. I could be fired tomorrow. That's also true. Absolutes don't exist in our biz. Why did you drop LeBron James doesn't have a no-trade clause in his contract? Are you actually going to trade him? Hell no. Why would you, even if you were being facetious, even if it was tongue-in-cheek, why do you even drop that?
Well,
LeBron James, no trade clause? One, that surprises me. Two, there's no way that he's trading him.
Well, if you didn't know already, David Griffin is English for Pinocchio. That doesn't happen. That doesn't exist. It's a unicorn. But he, you know, he's sounding tough. It sounds good. But he knows that he can't trade LeBron James and keep a job in the National Basketball Association.
Imagine that.
Who do you trade LeBron for? I'm serious. Who do you trade LeBron for?
Like, I'd say Kevin Durant, but that wouldn't even make sense.
Well,
would it?
How about you trade someone of equal value? And when I say equal value, take me to 5 straight finals in the modern era.
I know.
Who I forgot. It's only unless he trades him for his shadow or something. Yeah. You can't trade LeBron.
Tyronn Lue came out and said the Cavs should have had more than one All-Star. No, your star player is that good. He's the equivalent of five All-Stars.
Well, they said that a guy who won the All-Star MVP a couple of years ago in Kyrie Irving should have been there even only playing so many games thus far. But again, what are the criteria by which we choose All-Stars is crazy. Now, forget about the fan part. Forget about the fan part. There is no criteria. If I like a guy, I'm going to choose him. Doesn't matter if he's having the worst year of his life. I'm going to choose this guy. But the coaches vote for the rest of the players. They elect the rest of the players.
And they don't watch all the teams on a nightly basis. They cannot. It's physically impossible.
But here's the thing. You see guys like Anthony Davis. I factor winning into how I choose. I factor progression into how I choose.
Is that why
Damian
Lillard's not there?
No. Well, if you lose 80% of your starting lineup and you're still competing in the West of all places, you should get some consideration, just like Boogie Cousins did. They've been terrible forever, but he's a monster. He's probably the best true center in the NBA right now, and he's proving that. So he deserves, and I hate that word. Stop saying, it's the worst word in the world. It's worse than try or weird. These are empty calorie words, Wheels.
Let me tell you why. I love me some weird.
Because you know what? Weird means everything and nothing all at the same time. Because if I ask you, that's weird. And I say, well, why is it weird, Wheels? And you'll say, well, because it's different. I say, well, why don't you just say different, dude? Yeah. So it means everything and nothing all at the same time.
I don't like when people drop unique. Unique. What is truly
unique? It's the same thing. It's the same idea.
I got it.
So I think that Cousins has earned his spot. You know, you look at whether you give a guy a Lifetime Achievement Award, Dirk Nowitzki, Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, even though they're on better teams. Like, every year, Mark Cuban and the Dallas Mavericks are the bridesmaids, never the brides. They never get Dwight Howard they wanted to get. They didn't get him. They wanted to get DeAndre Jordan. They didn't get him. But they got the great and immortal Zaza Pachulia, the double-double machine that he is. He's made a difference for that team. So you never know what you're going to get. And I think that sometimes when we look at how these guys are chosen, the criteria is different. For me, winning factors into it, or progression in from season to season.
Okay, well, let's get off All-Star talk, because it's talked about far too much. Like, over the course of the last week, whether it be hockey, basketball, what have you, we've talked more about the All-Star process than the actual product on the court. It's
crazy. Why can't we talk about it? Because don't you think that Dwayne Casey, you talked about Kyrie Irving not playing enough games.
Yes, he should.
Should Dwayne Casey be the coach for the Eastern
All-Stars? Yes, he should, but I don't want to talk about this anymore, because I want to get to the performance of the Toronto Raptors. Possible trade targets. If I'm Masai Ujiri, I'm looking to make a move. I'm seeing there to be a window now, because you're entering a relative unknown with the salary cap going up, a new economic world in the NBA, with all kinds of free agents, and who knows where they're going
to
land. And a lot of them may stay right where they are.
All right, so I'm listening.
That being said, with this team playing this well, I think if you can add a piece, and I'm primarily looking at the four position, then you can take care of business. That's where I'm looking right now. So I'm going to throw out some names for you. You can give me a yay or a nay.
Okay.
Mr. Ryan Anderson of the New Orleans Pelicans, who went
out
for 36 points last night in Anthony Davis' stead. He's a pending free agent this summer. He's got an outside shot. You can never have enough guys who can drain an outside shot. Ryan Anderson could be one of them. Yay or nay?
Yay, could be. But who do you trade for him? And
you got four draft picks in the next 2 years.
Did they lose? Did they lose that game that Ryan Anderson dropped numbers?
Well, the team has nobody on it other than
I'm just asking the question. Did they win?
I don't know what the final score was last night. I just saw that he put up 36. It caught my attention.
Okay. So, yeah. I would trade for Ryan Anderson, depending upon what you move for.
Can't play D. They beat the Sacramento Kings last night, 114-105.
Okay.
So Ryan Anderson, you'd be interested in dangling one of your four first-round picks coming up in the next 2 years?
Yes, I would.
Okay. How about the name of Thaddeus Young?
No.
Why not?
Doesn't give me enough outside. You can't clog up the middle and Jonas doesn't have enough moves down low to make me say I can throw the ball inside to him. He can go to work, get me to the line. Even though he does get to the line and he shoots a fair percentage.
They've been getting by with Luis Scola, who's 35 years old. I love Luis.
He's inside and out.
He's a pro, but this is an 82-game season, dude. He's my age. Trust me, I got sciatica right now. It's killing me.
We know that Luis Scola is not, even though Luis Scola is Spanish for scoring, Luis Scola is not a starting four man in the NBA today. And we understand that.
Okay, but if your boy Luis Scola starts, he's a rotation guy. Like, if really Pat falls off a little bit, then Thad can step in, doesn't have the outside game.
I think you need that. He's not a post-up guy either. He's more of a like utility guy, and I don't see him fitting into the roster in the way that helps this team.
Okay. Markieff Morris, the Suns want to trade this guy. Maybe a little bit of a malcontent, a little bit of an attitude, but dude can play. He's making upwards of $8.6 ends up in 2018-2019. So you got control of the player, got some term, and a useful body as well.
I will answer that in freestyle French. N-E-A-U-X. Yeah. No. I would not trade for him at all.
Why?
You said it already. Malcontent. It's just not a guy you want to bring in. Again, we talk about chemistry. That means so much to this team. They brought in a guy like Damari Carroll, who's a chemistry guy from Atlanta. Doesn't shake up the chemistry here. He actually adds to it. Markieff Morris does not add to that.
Okay. Would you like to throw another name into the hat? Anyone else?
I'm going to keep it violent right now. Just for the sake of conversation.
You.
I don't believe that Memphis is going anywhere fast in the West.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they have a former Defensive Player of the Year who can be a stretch five because he can play inside and out, one of the best passers in basketball. Do you mortgage your future to some degree because you invested in Jonas Christ superstar Jonas Valanciunas? Do you trade Jonas for Marc Gasol?
We've heard that floated. I can't see a move like that happen. Like, there's too much upside with Jonas long term that I think that they'd be willing to give up for a guy who's sitting free agency.
Marc Gasol got his money, and you're looking at a chance to overcate Cleveland and take a shot in the East.
It's intriguing.
And again, Marc Gasol is a winning player. I'm not saying that Jonas isn't.
It's 29-30. Right. I like where he's at. I like his game.
And he's
he
not
immediately
a guy
makes you a better team now.
Right, and he doesn't mess up your chemistry. The way he plays, he's not a guy who's saying, give me the ball down low. But you know, you can give him the ball down low. You can give him the ball at 15 to 18 feet. Whether it's free throw line extended or on the baseline, he's going to make numbers. Mm-hmm. And he'll make the right pass, too. Plus, a former Defensive Player of the Year. You're going to have some issues at the rim with him as opposed to Jonas.
We only got a minute. You're willing to bail on JV?
No, I'm just saying.
Not bailing. You're getting something back, but
I want to explore the opportunity and say, if I'm pulling the trigger and I feel like the East is, my time is the best right now and ripest right now with two all-stars who are playing at this level, with Damari Carroll coming back, do I pull the trigger on something like that? They won't, but I'm at least looking at the possibilities. And you know that BlackBerry is moving in Masai Ujiri's office right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is what
still
it is.
Still sticking with BlackBerry, eh?
Yeah.
Huh. The guy's resilience. Do you want to say a quick word on Damar, All-Star?
It's great. I think it's great for him. I think it bodes well for what he wants.
Deserve it. Deserve it. No.
I don't think so. I mean, he's earned that. You know, his game has gotten so much better. I think he adds something every summer. His ability to drive to the basket and make sure he makes shots, using that left hand has been a key for him this season. So, DeMar Darnell DeRozan, congratulations, two-time NBA All-Star.
Good stuff, buddy. Is there a better basketball segment than that?
Yeah,
N-E-U-X new.
Well,
there's a basketball show on our air Saturday.
There might be. So make sure you do what's popular with the population and check out the news, views, and truths that you choose on the NBA and beyond. It's One-on-One with Will and Dwayne.
What time are you on tomorrow?
Only at 3 p.m. on Saturdays.
Not
only on TSN 1050.
And by the way, for our listeners, we are your home for All-Star Weekend all weekend long, Friday through Sunday. Valentine's Day weekend is NBA All-Star Weekend. Just keep it locked right here. It's going to be nice and romantic. A lot of basketball talk on our airwaves all weekend long, including the All-Star Game, Rising Stars Challenge, all that good stuff right
Beautiful
here
thing.
On TSN 1050. At WallStrizzle1 on Twitter is the NWO. What'd you call it? The New Will
Order? The New Will Order, brother. I'm telling you right now, brother.
Wow. Worse than a Hulk Hogan YouTube video. Put it that way. He is Will Strickland, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks,
Nick
Will.
Nick Nurse joining me at the top of the clock. I'm Wheeler sitting in for Hayes. This is TSN 1050 in Toronto. You see what the general manager of the Cleveland Cavaliers, David Griffin, has done? Now in studio, we're throwing out fake fantasy LeBron James trade. Because LeBron James doesn't have a no-trade clause, we start throwing out, who would you trade LeBron James for? Immediately came to my mind with some deal with Kevin Durant. Forget about that. Steph Curry. If the Golden State Warriors called the Cleveland Cavaliers and say, hey, Griffin, trade that guy LeBron over to the Bay Area. We'll send Curry your way. Would you do it? Would you do it? These trades will never happen. But it's fun to question. It's fun to just throw out there. Is there a trade? Let me know. Is there a trade that you would make if you're David Griffin? If any other GM in the league called you up and said, we will give you X for LeBron James, would you do it? Let me know what that deal would look like at Wheeler TSN on Twitter. Coming up on TSN Drive today, it's Brian Hayes and Bill Hayes. The Hayes boys are taking over for some hazing today. Lou Lamoriello joining the program at 5:05. The general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs will weigh in on a number of different issues as we've reached the All-Star break. And as well, right here on TSN 1050 tonight, the Toronto Marlies take on the Grand Rapids Griffins in Michigan tonight at 7 p.m. Complete coverage is right here on TSN 1050. Now, William Nylander will be back in the lineup. And we all assume that this is his return after suffering that concussion at the World Juniors. Well, there is something else wrong with William Nylander that has kept him out this long that had nothing to do with the concussion. This is breaking news, and we're going to tell you what next. Stay with us. Gareth Wheeler with you. This is TSN 1050 in Toronto.